Well, folks, you know we don't do the infighting. You know we would rather the right wing be unified in our effort to save the world from the clutches of the mad scientist known as the New World Order. And I got very huge respect for what Tim Pool has been able to accomplish. It's very impressive. He's got a very solid track record. And the man knows how to put out a show. And his crew's great. Everybody I've ever met there has been fantastic. But he also was inexplicably a total jackass to me last time I was on there, so I don't actually feel that bad. And he's made some very terrible choices in the last year. I'm going to go to a video of him complaining about that. But I also want to explain briefly why his views have cratered over the last year and why he's basically saying that unless he raises money in 2 weeks, they're going to have to shut down the show. Now, he got screwed over with the claims about him being a Russian asset. I think that was utterly fraudulent. I think that was totally unfair. However, it did expose how he makes his money, at least one of the methods by which he makes his money, being sponsored by, frankly, kind of shady media outlets to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a show. On top of that, he's got, sign-up things. You can sign up to be a member of his thing or whatever. But he's not doing too well. He's sort of crashing out, and he's threatening to quit. So I want to go to this video here and then call him names. Let's go to Tim Pool claiming that unless you give him money, he's not going to do the show anymore. Let's watch.
Partners. And one thing is clear. The violence will get worse. It is going to escalate. We cannot keep going as status quo. Something has to change. It may be that as we described after the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the threat to come and shoot up our studio and our workplace, we asked, at what point do we say we can't do this anymore? The cost of running Timcast IRL studio and the projects around it exceeds the amount of money it brings in. That's just that breaking point, isn't it, for any business? If you need $100 to, run your restaurant, but you're only bringing 90, you go out of business. The issue? The cost isn't cameras or lights. The cost is security because of the escalation.
Okay, all right, we can take it down. Tim, you're a pussy. Sorry, that's what it is. That's what it is. Everybody here at InfoWars has been subject not just to threats, but to, in many cases, physical violence, swatting, all sorts of insane stuff. I feel for him in one regard. We have to spend the same amount on security, but there's just something about we just have to stop. Maybe I'll just give up. It's like, well, last time I checked in, you were building out a van because you were going to go traverse the Civil War battlefield as America descends into chaos. Like, but now you're too scared to keep doing your show on your compound. I don't get it. Now, I understand he talks about he works a lot. He's like, I don't want to go on a break. I never go on breaks, whatever else. If there's one thing I can say about the Tim Pool compound, having been there, it was very fun. It was very cool. It was very laid back. There was not a lot of work going on. There were a lot of people sitting around, hanging out, skating, right? I think Tim himself was skating for like an hour and a half when I was there. Now, things may have changed. It's been a while since I was there. Maybe he's working a lot harder now. I just have trouble taking this seriously. When at InfoWars, it is a hive of activity. Nobody is sitting around at InfoWars. Nobody is playing video games or shuffleboard or hanging out with the chickens in the backyard at InfoWars. So I have a little bit of a hard time believing that they're, working their fingers to the bone and they're just not making it work. Now, they have memberships, they have sponsorships, they have all this stuff. It's hard for everybody. And really, I'm not even trying to put down Tim Pool. I am trying to uplift Alex Jones and InfoWars and let you know that not everybody can handle the atmosphere that we've been in and on top of and the number one target of for the last 30 years. And we continue to dominate and continue to have success while all of our competitors continue to struggle and fail because we were the first, we were dead on the money, and we have the AlexJonesStore.com. And as long as you go shop there, there's nothing anybody can do to shut us down, and we'll never shut ourselves down like Tim.
My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, Methylene Red, back in stock, Bovine Colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel, so that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off.
Vaccine is on its way.
Oh, really?
That's right, and it's a brand new mRNA vaccine, so...
mRNA, that's never been done before, right?
Oh, no, it's been done before. It just never made it out of the testing phase because all of the animals kept dying, but it'll be different this time.
How so?
Well, we're not going to do the animal testing, so...
So you're just going to go straight to testing on humans?
Yeah, you can say that.
I mean, even so, don't most vaccines take years to develop and decades to test?
It's here! The vaccine is here!
Already?
That's right, it's here and it's 100% effective. No transmission, no infection, and you don't have to wear a mask or stay locked down anymore.
Wow, really?
Yep, I mean, except for the things about the mask and lockdown, yep.
Okay, but it's 100% effective?
That's right, 90% effective. And frankly, 85% effectiveness is really incredible.
Oh, so it's only like 85% effective?
Not quite, it's more like 75%, but hey, 65% still very good. And I mean, they said we'd never even get to 50% effectiveness, and we did, almost. So 40%, really great achievement.
So it's only like 40% effective now?
For a bit.
A bit?
I mean, it wears off, so.
Well, after how long?
Like 4 to 6.
4 to 6 what?
Booster shots a year.
Okay, so it really only works like right after you get the shot.
Well, not right after, because we don't even consider you vaccinated until 2 weeks after your second shot, so.
Okay, so it takes like a month for the shots to work, but it wears off, and even then it only gives you mild protection, but you have to get boosters that also wear off. You still have to wear a mask, and you can still get COVID, and you still have to stay home, and there are rare but serious side effects, and all of this over a virus that has a survival rate of over 99.5%.
Whoa, I never said anything about serious side effects.
Are there, though?
Certainly none I've ever discussed.
Yeah, but have there been reports of serious side effects?
No, I mean... Except for, like, AIDS or whatever.
Did you say AIDS?
Yeah, basically you, like, get AIDS and then there's this heart thing where your heart explodes and sometimes half your face falls asleep forever and almost everybody gets extreme nausea and pain at the site of the injection. Sometimes they just die right there at the injection site, but we're not sure that's caused by the vaccine, so we will not be looking into it.
I cannot believe that pharmaceutical companies would actually release this to the American people.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. They're completely indemnified against any wrongdoing, so they'll be fine.
Right. Look, a vaccine is literally the only plan I have, so it's happening. It's coming out and everybody's taking it. Even if it's risky, even if you have natural antibodies, even if it doesn't stop transmission, you are taking it.
Wait, but you said it did stop transmission.
Oh, did I? Oopsie.
No, I don't think I'll be getting that shot now.
Well, what if I offer you some tasty French fries?
No.
Okay, well, what if I throw in a single glazed donut?
No.
You drive a hard bargain. Well, what if I give you a chance to win $1 million?
I mean, I feel like you're just trying to exploit my desperation at this point. I mean, look, this is about bodily autonomy.
No, that doesn't exist. We checked.
Checked with who?
Well, the experts, obviously.
Tell you what if I tempt you with not losing your job?
Oh, so it's going to be mandatory.
Oh, nobody's mandating anything. It's entirely up to you whether you take the shot or whether you lose your job and become a despised pariah unworthy of basic decency or life-saving organ transplants.
Yeah, I feel like you're forcing me to get this shot.
Nobody is forcing you. Just take the jab.
I'm not going to take the vaccine.
Just take the jab.
I feel like I'm being forced here.
Take the jab.
No, no, no. You know what? I don't deserve this. I have a right to my own body. Maybe I'll go protest. A protest? Yeah, that's fun. Say, do you like having a bank account? What? I'm just asking. Do you like having access to the money in your bank account? What are you saying? All I'm saying is there's no reason for you to be scared of a little needle. Nothing to do with it. It's the only way to stop this pandemic. But you said it doesn't stop transmission. Exactly. That doesn't make any sense. God, some people are so stupid. You're not trusting the science hard enough. Look, it's not me telling you to take the jab. It's actually your sister Sarah. What? Yeah, your sister Sarah is requiring a vaccine to go to her wedding. So she works for me now. Oh, God, I mean, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime event. All right, I guess I'll get the vaccine. Wow, what a coincidence. Where are the children?
All right, folks, welcome back. That, of course, is a skit that I originally filmed. It must have been at least 3 years ago. I think it was more like 4 years ago. I just thought I'd play that for the one joke sort of right in the middle there where I point out that it can make your heart explode, because apparently yesterday scientists figured out that, yes, the COVID vaccine will make your heart explode. But somehow InfoWars knew that was the case 3 years ago. That should inspire questions within you, folks. With that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, of course, the one and only Tiffany Cianci, the bubbly little fairy of doom. She's an activist raising awareness about the critical threat that private equity poses to American society. She's raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms that are covertly monopolizing entire industries by using hostile takeovers in kangaroo courts. That's really just scratching the surface. You can learn more at The Vino Mom on X or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. And of course, she's on TikTok as well. Tiffany, welcome back once again.
I think you're my favorite place to come hang out. I love it here.
Oh, we love having you. And I've noticed that my very complimentary label of you has been catching on. People are now, lots of people are calling you the bubbly little fairy of doom.
I don't think I could shake it if I wanted to. My comment section is filled with little like bomb emojis and fairy emojis everywhere. And it's so funny to me because I've had lots of nicknames. I've had like private equity warrior. I've had like mom fighter. I've had like small business like warrior. I've had so many things people have said and nothing has ever caught on. Like that.
Bubbly little fairy of doom. Well, you're such a cheerful and happy person, but you come bearing this news and it's not your fault. It's just, this is what the world is like. Actually, I'm working on a compilation of videos for the year 2025, and I showed a preview to my wife and she watches it and she goes, there's a lot of explosions in that. I'm like, yeah, put any happy stuff in there. I'm like, sorry, it's what happened this year.
I don't make the rules. It was all laws. I don't make the wars.
I wish we could come in and say, we're knocking down private equity here. We're putting a stop to them here, but it's just not happening. What is the latest? What do you have? You do have some good news for us, you said.
I do. I brought some good stuff right now, or at least some like actionable stuff right now that like may have good news on the horizon.
That's what we need. So, well, let's save that for dessert. Okay, let's start with the horror. Okay.
Okay.
And I hate to start off with this.
We're going to start off with this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that gives the whole hour that we can try to help. So that's good.
Exactly. That's good. And I of course thought of you as soon as I saw this headline. It is a absolute tragedy. Girl, 6 years old, dies from injuries after go-karting accident at a Florida trampoline adventure park. Why would this make me think of you? Because
this is actually the company. This theme park is owned by the company I've been fighting in court for the last 4 years. And a lot of people think that like they're fighting me because I was the president of our union. That might be where it started. But in reality, the fighting kept happening because after I was on the cover of the New York Times, all of these other victims of their lawfare had started sneaking me court documents from their cases that were sealed. And in one of those sets of documents, I received documents that said that their CEO was overriding their safety team and that that the things he was recommending could lead to children falling off their zip lines and that the safety team was overridden. And just a few weeks later, kids started falling off zip lines at their parks. Now, when you pair private equity with nursing homes, when you pair private equity, not all private equity, pirate-like private equity, we talked about this, like pirate equity, evil equity, whatever. When you pair that with things that involve care of human beings, whether it's an emergency room or a nursing home or a veterinary clinic or a child care center or an adventure park, and your goal is to make money at all costs, to reduce EBITDA at all costs, right? If your goal is that saving $10,000 a year, according to the document I was sent, was worth risking children falling off of zip lines, which is what that document said between their lawyers, then you don't mix private equity with things that put people's lives at risk,
right?
Okay? Because if your goal is money at any cost, people are going to die. And what's happened is, because I got those documents, I've been subpoenaed to testify in cases where these children fell off these zip lines. And I have the only documents that show that these things were going on in the background.
That they knew there was a risk, and that they took the risk knowingly.
And so what they, when you really look at what they're doing to me, in my opinion, it's just witness intimidation. They want me to stop testifying for these children. Well, this little girl, like, we've seen dozens of kids fall, paraplegics, quadriplegics. We've got children with severe traumatic brain injuries. One child that's going blind right now from her injuries. A boy that was scalped.
Oh my God.
A woman that was almost internally decapitated. We have a woman that was strangled, a child that was strangled that was 6 years old in Georgia. We have a 14-year-old girl whose harness was not clipped in, and she jumped off like a 20-foot rock fall and broke like every bone in her lower bodies. So, Larry, and so now finally we have a child that is this the most beautiful 6-year-old little girl. I hate to say curly red hair, the most beautiful curly red hair. Her name was Emma, and she went to her big sister's birthday at Urban Air in Florida, and she left in a helicopter and died shortly thereafter. Now, this little girl was riding a go-kart, and she was six. Okay, she was on a go-kart. Now, early reporting suggested she was riding with her dad. All of that was removed, and now it said her dad was at the place with her. So all of the reporting is suggesting she was driving that go-kart. And if you look at this company's websites, they have no minimum age requirements for their go-karts, and they brag that they go up to 25 miles an hour on a multi-level track. Watching the video of this, I would be intimidated to drive anything on this track. I would, like, I can't even imagine. But if a place doesn't have a minimum age requirement, as a parent, you're going to assume they know it's safe.
Right.
Now, there's the first reporting that came out said this had triggered state, local, and federal investigations. We already know the FTC is investigating this company. But this little girl lost her life. She's never coming home. Her family will never be whole again. Her big sister will always equate this with her birthday. What about the teenagers working that ride?
Right.
What happened to them? What happened to all the children at this birthday that watched their classmate, their friend perish? You know, the park has been closed for days. I can only imagine what the crime scene must have, or the investigation scene. I don't want to say crime. I don't know that. The investigation scene must have looked like.
Right.
And if you look at their website, it says height requirements will vary by location. Check with your local location. No minimum age requirements to drive. And then they brag about the intensity of this ride. A six-year-old was driving a vehicle that could go 25 miles an hour on a track with other people driving vehicles that go 25 miles an hour.
Right. And, you know, something being dangerous, it doesn't mean inherent. Like, I want to, this is almost hard to express, but it's like, we're not saying like, oh, go-karts are too dangerous. We should show everything needs to be covered in padding. But it's like, okay, if you don't want the government doing it, if you don't want the government coming in and saying you must do this and you must do that, and we can't have go-karts past 15 miles an hour, you can't, then there are like market forces that should ensure that the company, if they want to continue to exist as a company, is going to do everything they can to make a ride safe. It's when you come in with cost-cutting measures and you start cutting corners in that regard because you're trying to make money for your private equity investor, this is what ends up happening. So it's this total perversion of what, as you were talking about, you know, in the very beginning, if you're taking care of people, that has to be a primary concern, not the profit. You can get profit while you take care of people, but that can't be the primary thing.
As somebody that I believe has been largely libertarian for a very long time, right? You and I have talked a lot about arbitration.
Right.
When this family signed in for that birthday, they signed an arbitration agreement at the front desk if they signed in the normal way. All right. Now, how much do you think this family might have reconsidered having their daughter's birthday there if they had known that there were all these other kids that had fallen off these zip lines?
Right.
How many parents in the United States would reevaluate having your birthday party at an indoor adventure park where child after child after child after child had fallen off zip lines, had been receiving severe traumatic brain injuries, had broken every bone in their lower body, ruptured spleens, ruptured lungs, right? blindness, scalping, right? A mom strangled, a child strangled. How many parents would reevaluate it? But because of this secret court system that these private equity firms employ, embrace lots of large corporations too, these private equity firms use them to cover up bad conduct. If this had been the 90s, every politician in the state would be out there picketing with parents demanding a change. But because we have so bastardized our legal system in favor of corporations, we have a kangaroo court system that is fully confidential. And 97% of the time at this monopoly-run court system that is paid for entirely by corporations, 97% of the time the family loses.
Right.
This family has a 3% chance of winning if they bring a case. 3%.
And that's something that we want to let them know, right? If anybody yes. listening to our voice has any way of contacting this family or getting in contact with them, Tiffany's got some very useful information for them. How should they reach out to you?
I check all of my messages online. My email is available at my link tree. You guys can reach me. But, you know, if this family or their lawyer needs documents to show the history of these injuries, I have made them available to anybody that's injured in the United States at these parks. Because if you're going to use a secret court system to hide your bad conduct, the free market cannot respond.
Right.
And if the free market cannot respond, that only encourages more of the bad behavior. And again, there's still an investigation ongoing here, but might this family never have walked in those doors?
Right.
Might they not have? And I want to say that there's a clear example, because as soon as this came out in the press, one of my children's friends' parents called me and said, "We were having our birthday party there. Can we move it? Do you have any recommendations for where we can go? We don't want to take our kids there."
Exactly.
Because they saw it.
Right.
Because there was a death. It was covered. And it shouldn't take that. It shouldn't have taken this gorgeous, beautiful little girl for people to have that knowledge, because there's been knowledge going back to 2018 of these horrifying injuries.
Well, and this is the thing. The first time you came on the show, this is exactly what you were talking about. And I think we have the video. I think, was this back in, when did you make this video?
This was about a year ago. I was on the Sean Mike Kelly podcast, and we had 30 plus million views on this video.
And it needs 130 million.
It does.
Because we were talking about this the first time you were in, and it was like, I remember you saying, like, it's only a matter of time before one, you know, there's a death, and yes. it's because they're allowed to get away. It's because the free market is not allowed to operate.
Yes.
The free market would shut these places down, or would mm-hmm. force them to, on their own volition, go over and above with safety. Because they can hide their results, because they have these arbitration agreements, they get away with all of it, and it's only led to more. So do we know if this was a private equity owned?
This is the company I'm fighting.
Oh, it's the same. That's right. That's right.
You said that. This is the same company. They're owned by Seidler Private Equity. This is a private equity firm that owns the Padres and specializes in family brands. Mm. They own Upa Baby Strollers. They own Aiden and Aeneas cotton organic Muslim baby swaddles, right? They own Frida, the baby healthcare company.
Oh, wow.
They own sports brands like Rawlings. Mm. Okay. They are a family aligned, private equity firm, and they probably thought when they acquired Unleash Brands, they were going to have all this amazing cross-promotional appeal.
Right.
I don't think
vertical
that
integration.
I doubt very much Unleash Brands actually told them about all these court cases.
Right.
I doubt very much that they knew that hundreds of their franchisees were suing them for RICO violations. Right. I doubt very much they knew about my case. But even if they did know, they went into this, and this is the brand they got. And this private equity firm, if they care about these other brands and they care about these families and they care about these kids and they really are the family brand they claim, then something has to change.
It really does. And I got to be honest. I saw a video from, I hate to say it, Pocahontas herself. Elizabeth Warren is actually standing up against this.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, okay, I don't even trust her motivation necessarily. I just don't like her as a person. But it's like, can we not come together on this? Is this not something that, like, everybody should be against this?
Yeah.
Literally everybody. If you love the free market, these people are destroying the free market.
Yes.
If you hate corporations, these are the corporations you should hate. Like, it doesn't matter how you're approaching this. This really should be something that we should be able to cross the aisle on. Well, let's go to this video. Trampoline Parks Hiding Deaths. This is from a year ago. Tiffany Cianci.
When you go to a trampoline park for a birthday party, you sign your kid in at the front, right?
Yeah.
You do the iPad. You don't realize there's 90 pages of legal documents under that. And they included a forced arbitration clause, or they can include a non-disparagement agreement or an NDA and a confidentiality agreement. So if kids are falling off trampoline parks all across the United States, one, they're not allowed to go public because they can get sued. Two, they are forced into a secret arbitration, so there's no court documents anyone can find. Well, during my case, a whistleblower came to me and he said, "Hey, I want you to know we fought to try to save you, but we failed." And he sent me all of these documents
that were from a second legal case that had been sealed. Whoa. And they had spent millions of dollars to seal it so no one see the documents from it. In those documents, there was a letter that said that the safety company for Urban Air franchises had gone to the CEO and said, you cannot pull the harness checkers on these zip lines because kids will get injured, they will die. And the CEO or their team at the CEO headquarters overruled them. And just weeks later, Mia fell. But it was happening in trampoline parks all over the United States.
So this is by no means the first instance of this happening, but it's like, how, you know, clearly you were right. And clearly,
I did not want to be right on this one.
Right.
You know, for anybody who's watching, I don't fourth wall break very often. I don't ask people for things. Like, I've had legal GoFundMes. I've never talked about them. Mia's family has a GoFundMe. Emma's family. Mia was the other girl in that video. Emma's family has a GoFundMe. The name, I think, is Emma Riddle. And I really, like, I'm hoping that, I'm sure they can find the link and we can put it up here, but their family is going to need money for a lot of things coming up. They're going to need burial expenses. They're going to need recovery time. They're going to need help for their daughter. They're going to need probably grief counseling. They're going to need trauma counseling for everyone that saw it. And they're going to need help if they find themselves in court. They're going to need help because going to arbitration costs a fortune. My judge was $25,000 plus a week. And mine took over a year. No regular family can afford this fight. Okay. So she's going to need all the help she can get. I am begging you guys to go give help, please. If you guys can go help Emma's family, please go help Emma's family.
I completely agree here. The GoFundMe is up, and we'll get the URL during the break here because we can't see it on our screen. But I mean, if I was the private equity, I would not be fine. I'd be giving them the biggest payout I could, because this looks so bad for them. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to fight it if these people try to sue? Do you think they're actually going to?
I can say this. The cases that I'm either assisting with or being subpoenaed in right now, they have fought with everything they have. And these children have lost every normal facet of their life. And for all intents and purposes, have lifelong disabilities that will cost millions and millions. And they have fought with everything they have against these families. So I cannot speculate on what they're going to do for Emma's family. But I can tell you that's what they've done to Mia's family. I can tell you that's what they've done to one of the ones that ended up in a wheelchair. I can tell you that's what they're doing to the family up in New Jersey, where the boy was scalped, and they've ended up going all the way to the appellate court to force him back into arbitration.
Wow.
All right, they've gone to multiple appellate courts, which is a common tactic they use, appeal after appeal. I am in appeals with them in two states right now. Do you know how much an appellate brief costs? You're talking $70,000, and I've had to do them multiple times just to keep fighting. And I'm not even fighting for anything except to make it stop. All I'm doing is fighting to make them stop harassing me.
It is so insane that we allow this to go on and that they're only gaining more and more power. We're going to give you the good news on the other side. I told you we're saving it for dessert, but it's important that you understand the real risk here. And when children get hurt, even catastrophically hurt, it doesn't make the headlines. This girl died, unfortunately, so we're actually hearing about it. This is far, far from the first time this has happened, and it's only going to happen more. And I'm not saying we need to, like, you know, cynically use this, but this could be a case that could bring awareness to this that could help it not happen in the future. So I do hope you go and donate to her family. If they do end up having to fight this legally, we need them to win so we can stop this from ever happening again in the future. In loving memory of our angel Emma, GoFundMe.com/ in loving memory of our angel Emma with dashes in between all those words. We'll be right back with Tiffany Cianci. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is brutal stuff. It's real.
Yeah.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it costs them over $200 million directly related to Arctic Frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our elections. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. And number one, my number one thing is we need to secure our election platforms.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at TheAlexShowStore.com or at MyPillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. You only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground, you know, look what they've destroyed and tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. You walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone than support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Over the weekend in Port St. Lucie, Florida, there was a tragic incident that occurred at the Urban Air Adventure Park there. 6-year-old Emma Riddle ended up losing her life after a go-kart accident. The family has reported that they were actually there at Urban Air in Port St. Lucie celebrating the birthday of Emma's older sister. And according to the 911 call that was released, Emma was in a go-kart, I'm assuming with another adult, but I do not know, and they were struck from behind. The caller said that it appeared that Emma struck her sternum and that they noticed blood, but they couldn't tell where that was coming from, that Emma appeared to be trying to throw up. She could not do that. She was breathing, but that she was incoherent. Just an absolutely terrible tragedy. So she was transported to the hospital. She passed away, I believe, the following day on Sunday. Now, some of you guys may recall a video that I made back in May of my friend Tiffany Cianci, who actually ended up being on the Candace Owens show, talking about her horrific experience with the parent company of Urban Air. Also on that episode, there were two episodes released, there were several other cases of individuals who were severely injured, one of them permanently disabled from an incident at at an Urban Air. Different location, but at an Urban Air. Now, most of these incidents involved the zipline attraction called the Skyrider, and most of them involved the person being incorrectly harnessed. But just a quick Google search today, and I found another incident where a child was climbing a rock wall. The harness was on her. She was 30 feet high, and she went to jump off, like, you know, you kind of do when you come down off of a rock wall. You just kind of jump out and off, and it lowers you down slowly. That harness was either not connected to the safety.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of examples of this, and we hardly ever hear about it. There's a reason, because these arbitration agreements and the way these private equity firms who buy up these adventure parks handle their legal business, absolutely brutal. I mean, I really like don't even want to show that because it's so heartbreaking and so brutal, and it's not for shock value that we show it, but because this is the consequence of what we're seeing in the economic world, right? It's not just about exploitation to earn a couple bucks. It's putting people in risk to earn a couple bucks, and it's only gets more brutal from there as you see the way these companies treat
parents. And this isn't like a one-off private equity situation. If you look at Jerome Powell, who's been lowering interest rates that benefit private equity, frankly, they're the ones that need cheap debt right now, not people, because the interest rates he's lowering don't bring down home loans.
Hmm.
That's bonds and treasuries, right? But Jerome Powell came from Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group was responsible for like 23,000 senior citizens' deaths.
Right.
When they bought a bunch of nursing homes and then bankrupted them and then left tens of thousands of senior citizens homeless overnight. But the report went in and investigated how many had died needlessly due to lack of care and poor staffing due to private equity cuts. And it was 23,000 grandparents. 23,000 senior citizens. This is not a one-off problem. If it has to do with someone's life, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't own hospitals. You know, what did we find out? You have a 40% higher risk of dying after a surgery at a private equity-owned surgical center. You have a 13%, I think it was, increased risk of dying if you go to an emergency room owned by private equity. If we knew that about a plane, we wouldn't get on.
Right.
But we're not allowed to know. I would like some transparency, but we're not allowed to have it. And if we knew about any of these incidences and any of these deaths at any of these organizations, at any of these different areas of the economic like spectrum, if it was senior citizens or your pets or your kids, we should know about that. It should not be hidden in these secret arbitrations, period.
Yep, 100%. And if we knew about it, if we were allowed to know about these things, the company would either go under or would have to prevent it from ever happening by over-investing in safety, knowing that any failure, but because they can hide it, because they have these arbitration agreements, because they have you, just, you know, doing that thing that you do. You walk in, you sign the thing. All right, go ahead, kid, have fun. I mean, you don't realize you are literally signing your life away.
Yep.
When you do that in like a million different ways. It is truly insane. It's almost like compounds, right? It's like the adventure park will put you out of commission, then you're sent to a hospital that'll kill you, and it's like the whole time.
Oh, but they own all the funeral homes too, don't worry.
Oh, great.
They own all the funeral homes.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. Yeah, it's hard to even be funny about this. I mean, it's so absurd. It should be funny, but yeah, some things just aren't even worth laughing at. So again, it's about private equity systematically vampirizing these organizations and looking for easy places to cut corners, and probably one of the easiest places is, well, do we really need an extra safety thing? Like maybe, maybe not. Yeah, cut it, see what happens. And after all, hey, kid gets hurt, might cost you some arbitration fees, but it's not like you're going to go down for $100 million settlement. You own the judge. It's it's so cynical and disgusting.
When you've got a 97% chance of winning, that's a cost of doing business, baby.
Yeah. It's all very, very convenient for them.
Yep.
And again, I wish Republicans would be on this. Republicans should be on this. As I've made the case over and over and over again, if you actually like the free market, if you actually are a capitalist, this is who you need to defend capitalism against. The people inside capitalism exploiting it, destroying it, turning it evil, and making the argument for the socialists for them, who can look at this and go, capitalism killed this little girl.
Yeah.
They're not exactly wrong, except what we have now is not capitalism.
Nope.
So it's like the people who do love capitalism don't shrug at this and go, they're just mad people are making money. No, we're mad a little girl is dead because these people wanted to make extra money.
The free market cannot respond when the free market is blind. And if we are hiding bad conduct on the part of these corporations, the free market is blind. There is no free market, period.
Bingo. 100%. And so, again, it's like as much as I do not like Elizabeth Warren, she's right about this. You were talking about a thing by Cory Booker. Again, very low on my list of, you know, politicians that I enjoy, just being frank. But if we can stop this, if we can stop, and I know the Elizabeth Warren video I saw, it was specifically about the old folks' homes.
Yeah, absolutely. She's actually made quite a few recently. She founded some, actually one of them sounded just like mine.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope I influenced that in some way because it was one of my more viral videos.
I hope so.
Where the scripts were really close. But she's speaking about it, and that's what matters. Ro Khanna talks about this quite a lot. But we have to be talking about this. And unfortunately, there's just too much money in them,
yeah.
like in it for them. Our politicians are invested in all these private equity firms and they're paying them through all these PACs, which actually we're going to be talking about PACs here in a minute. But
so let's close out with this, with another encouragement to go support this family's yes. GoFundMe. And if the crew can bring it up again, I'll read that URL once again. And another, request that if you know this family, if you're able to reach out to them or reach out to Tiffany Cianci. Obviously, don't reach out to them if you don't know them. Do not harass them in any way.
No.
But if you already know them or if you have friends of friends or whatever, pass Tiffany's info to them. If they want, they can reach out to her and she can really help them deal with this because I doubt they know the hell they're about to enter into.
Yeah.
Nobody expects to be raked over the coals legally when you have already experienced this undescribable tragedy. So GoFundMe.com/InLovingMemoryOfOurAngelEmma with dashes in between each of those last words, In Loving Memory of Our Angel Emma. I'm sure you can search that at GoFundMe.com. So I do encourage you to do that and encourage, if anybody can, connect to Tiffany so we can help this family endure the onslaught they're about to be under.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just absolutely tragic. What else do you have for us? I know we got Maha stuff.
We have some Maha stuff and we have some PAC stuff. If we're saving dessert for dessert, then let's go to Maha.
Okay. What's happening with Maha? You know, it's funny. It's like I should have known. I saw a video yesterday, RFK Jr., regenerative farming. And I saw it and I thought, great, that's awesome. That's probably really great. And then as soon as I go to bring it up to you, I see your face drop and I go, I should have known. I should have known it was too good to be true. I should have known our government doing something positive for the people. What a fool I was to think that was real. So, okay, RFK Jr. has come out, Maha Agenda, regenerative farming. Sounds good.
Yeah.
What is it?
So actually what this is actually kind of horrible. What they're about to do. No. Like the need for it is horrible. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So like this is a farmer bailout. It's a subsidy bailout for farmers that are just drowning. Okay.
Right.
Now here's the thing. Our entire agricultural system is now monopolized by four companies.
Right.
Period. And those four companies know how much farmers get per bushel for their crops. And they collude. They engage in anti-competitive behavior to set their prices right at the line so that farmers can't survive. They're right at the edge to keep treading water, but never, ever actually being able to put food on the table. And that's why they know our government's going to come in and give out some subsidies or whatever. But all of these monopolists, right? You have two companies that handle all farming equipment. You have two seed companies that handle all seeds for farmers, right? You have like two companies that do all kinds of equipment maintenance. You have just tying arrangements from like companies like John Deere, who recently faced a bunch of lawsuits because they were forcing you to go get your equipment worked on at their facilities. And they made it impossible to fix your equipment. And then they had like built in things that were going wrong
right.
and farmers couldn't fix their equipment. And then they'd miss whole harvests because they had to pay exorbitant rates for these tying arrangements. Because when you are a monopolist, you have no reason to play ball. You have no reason to compete. And that is why competition is so important to our economy.
Yep.
Well, so right now what we have is a system where we are paying out tens of billions of dollars a year in subsidies because farmers will go bankrupt and they won't pay off the loans they have on these $1 million combines. Okay.
Right.
Which by the way, these combines aren't $1 million in any other country where they have competition.
Right.
They're just $1 million here because they can charge whatever they want because they have no competition. And both companies have agreed, we're making money, baby. Record profits.
Right.
Okay? And so these farmers are making no money, and our country has to chronically come in and bail them out with subsidies. But here's the thing. The subsidies are lobbied for by these companies, the chem agri companies and the seed companies. They're lobbying for these subsidies so they can keep charging them more than the farmers could survive with, right? And so they lobby for the subsidies, and oftentimes they tie them to specific types of subsidies. So the money goes straight to them. It never gets to the farmers.
Right.
The money goes straight to these monopolies, period. And in this instance, it says, you know, we're giving out like $12 billion in subsidies and we're marking $700 million for regenerative farming. except for that they're not defining what regenerative farming is. And the definition that these agrochemical companies provide is that you are basically, you're not creating soil health. Instead, you're going to use chemicals that align with what they say is regenerative to kill everything there and loosen the soil. And then the soil is not healthy. So you're not actually creating regenerative farming. You need to define what regenerative farming is, and you actually have to work to make sure you're creating a healthy environment. But why would we do that when we're giving immunity to pesticide companies?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no impetus on us to do any of that. And so we shouldn't, first of all, we should not need it. We should have an FTC and a DOJ antitrust division that is doing their jobs and breaking up monopolies, because our farmers deserve a fair rate. They deserve a chance to survive. They've worked for hundreds of years on these farms. They've kept them in the family. They feed our country. And they have to beg for handouts because monopolies make it so.
Yep.
It's not one farmer. It's not two farmers. It's every non-industrial farmer. Every single one. They don't have a chance. There's just no way for them to do anything that will give them the opportunity. And so if this is where we're at, then we need to break up these monopolies, create competition, and in the meantime, support the farmers every way we can. But we should not be tying their subsidies to going to these corporations. And we should absolutely be going into these corporations and doing big investigations. And I'm not talking the kind of investigations we've been doing, where we go in and they say, oh, yeah, we did some bad things. We'll give the federal government $2 million. Right. We'll give them $2 billion.
Right. We made $200 million, so as a punishment, we'll give you two. Yeah,
that, and that's what's happening.
Yep.
It
over
keeps
and over.
Happening. And so what we need to do is go break up these companies. We need real antitrust work. We need real antitrust action. And I expect it. We were promised that we were draining the swamp. We were promised that we were here for the little guy. We were promised that we were here to create competition and to get like the rot out of Washington. And what we have seen is anything but.
Yep.
And we were promised MAHA, frankly. And I am done waiting, because we don't have MAHA. What we have is this illusion of MAHA in one agency, where they gave us one person that they thought represented MAHA and then went to the two partnership agencies that would have to work with him and planted just swamp creatures at the top that defend only these corporations and lobby only for these corporations.
Let me play devil's advocate here.
Yeah,
okay?
Bring it in.
You're sending RFK Jr. as the paladin into the goblin nest.
Yep.
That has been building itself up and building up its defenses for decades on end. I didn't expect him to solve everything in 1 year. It's been a year. Is he not making tangible moves? I mean, we've gotten the mRNA vaccines pulled out.
I am not saying he's not making tangible moves. I am saying by appointing Lee Zeldin to the EPA, by appointing who's been appointed over at USDA, and then watching them strip mine every program we had working to make America healthy again and stopping any new programs, he's not even being given the opportunity to do what he promised. Because he's been cut off at the knees by swamp creatures that were planted around him. I am not saying he's not working hard. He is absolutely working hard. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't have partnership and buy-in from the EPA and the USDA, it's not possible. And that's why we have this headline today. Where is it? That says that today, because all of MAHA leadership is up in arms over this $700 million. And the new, if you guys don't know at home, our EPA just passed two new forever chemical pesticides that will put forever chemicals directly on your vegetables. Directly, or directly in the feed that goes into the animals that you're going to eat. I'm pretty sure that we've already found out that forever chemicals are incredibly harmful. That is a fact.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they just approved these horrifying new, brand new forever chemical pesticides. Now that is not MAHA, period. And all of MAHA is up in arms. And so now Zeldin has made an announcement. Lee Zeldin says that there's going to be a MAHA agenda for the EPA coming soon. Well, guess what, Lee? Guess what? If you've already passed all of these new pesticides that are going to poison us, if you've already done everything you have to do, including Trump's DOJ last week, appealing to the Supreme Court to grant immunity to all pesticide companies. And the reason they gave is spectacular. Are you ready? The reason the DOJ is asking the Supreme Court to grant immunity to all pesticide companies is because they said, if the EPA says it's safe, then it's not up to anyone else to say it's unsafe.
Oh,
it has to be safe.
God.
We're supposed to accept their decision, and it should be unlitigatable.
Just like vaccines.
Anything. Nobody's ever gotten science wrong. We've never learned from science later that something was wrong. And when you have lobbyists in a revolving door through these regulatory regimes, which should be illegal, period.
Yeah.
When you have these lobbyists coming in and out, like Lee Zeldin, who is a lobbyist, right? when you have these people rotating through and serving the interests of their former clients that they will go back to and take as clients again the second they don't have their job. You have to rely on the checks and balances our founding fathers gave us to restore that fairness for the American people. The courts were made to challenge accepted science. The courts were made to challenge accepted bureaucracy. The courts were made to challenge safely and effectively safety,
mm-hmm.
right? And if we don't get to go in and do discovery and prove that things have happened and they're not doing these investigations at the EPA, what has changed since they approved glyphosate? Do you think science hasn't changed in 30 years?
Right.
Well, it's good. We haven't done any studies. But definitely that science 30 years ago should bar anyone from bringing a lawsuit.
And again, it's just exactly the same as the private equity we're talking about here, where if companies knew, okay, if we start causing cancer, our whole company's going down, it'll be humiliating and causes billions of dollars and I'll end up in jail, they're going to be really careful about what they push.
Yes.
It's just, it's so mind-blowing to me that you would tell companies like that who are messing with this type of risk, you know what? All the risk you're taking is positive. If it works, you're good. If it doesn't work, we'll take care of it. It is so absurd. This is not capitalism. This is an abject violation of capitalistic principles.
And so when she says, when we have them coming out and releasing a statement that says, don't worry, guys, I know you're upset about these new forever chemicals. I know you're upset about the immunity that is literally, if anyone watching at home doesn't know this, the highest instances of lymphoma and leukemia in the United States are in one profession. They're all clustered together in one profession, and that is farming.
Yep.
Farmers are most likely to die of lymphoma. They have fresh vegetables, they have fresh fruits, they have freshly slaughtered meat, and they're dying of lymphoma in record numbers. Couldn't be the chemicals.
Mm.
Why would we look at that? The EPA said 36 years ago they were safe. I'm sorry. But if we're asking, what happens next? What happens when the next guy, if this passed at the Supreme Court, what happens when the next guy comes in? And let's say, let's talk to the Democrats. You guys are upset about a lot of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing. If this were the new precedent at the Supreme Court, you could not bring a case to challenge anything he decides. Do
right.
you not see that when you do these things, you have to think long term when there's rotations through office? And I am sorry, but given how much that bureaucracy has been infiltrated by these horrible corporations and these monopolies, given how much control they have, given the unmitigated spending they get to do, given the unmitigated bribery they get to execute, I am sorry, but I need our court system to start doing something and stopping it by cutting it off at the knees because the DOJ said, hey guys, we'd really like you to stop that because the donations are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I'm sorry. I have no patience for it.
Bayer weighs Roundup exit as cancer legal bills nears $18 billion. And honestly, it should be a lot higher than that. And remember, they hired like black offices or whatever you'd phrase, you know, they'd have a black budget where they had literal spies from Monsanto who would go out to like intimidate and harass journalists to stop them reporting on this. So it's not like they didn't know. It's not like you can go, oh my God, cancer, I can't believe it. It's like, well, if you didn't know it caused cancer, why did you pay people to cover up the fact it caused cancer? I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, whether it's that or atrazine or anything else.
And if we're going to die, okay, if Trump brought in Bobby to be the head of MAHA, I want to be very clear. Bobby made his name in his career by getting the largest award in history for bringing a case against glyphosate and Roundup.
Right.
Okay, on behalf of farmers. That was his life's work. And then we plant industry insiders to work against him.
Mm.
How's he supposed to do it?
Oh, now he's getting impeached by the Democrats.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right.
How crazy is that?
I want to get to dessert, and I know we're running
okay,
out of time.
Okay, all right. Let's finish off strong here.
All right. So I want to talk to you guys about Maine, because Maine is doing something awesome. So Maine has, they passed a law last year with a 75% of the voting pool passed this law. And the law was aimed at limiting how much contributions could be to super PACs to encourage public financing. They wanted to make some really good electoral changes, but they also knew this was going to be challenged. And just like clockwork, they passed this law saying you could only give, I think it's $5,000 to a PAC. Okay. And everybody's going to say Citizens United. Well, Citizens United never looked at contributions to PACs. That's not what they ever looked at.
Oh.
And so what they did was they immediately got sued to stop it by two PACs. And then that got held up in the courts. And now they're on a track to the Supreme Court where we're going to relook at a case out of the DC appellate court called, it's called Speech Now. I think it's called Speech Now. I'll double check, but Speech Now. And that case was an expansion by a lower court of Citizens United.
Okay.
Where this lower appellate court did not let it go to the Supreme Court, and they said, listen, if we're saying that companies are allowed to have speech independently, then PACs should have it too. But they never let the Supreme Court look at a lot of these details. And so right now, Maine has a case that is tracking its way to the Supreme Court, and they need our support on this. I want the justices to know we're watching this. I want everyone to know, because what this case is looking at is whether or not you can hide your contributions and use these super PACs to move dark money into Washington without accountability and without disclosure. And what I want to do is I want to see accountability. 98% of Americans believe that we should get corporate money out of politics, 98%. And this case has a chance of really limiting that.
That's fantastic. And of course, you just have to look at some of the major PACs and who they're going after. Thomas Massie, obviously, is one where, you know, it's a couple billionaires putting in tens of millions of dollars to oust him. That's not the way our system's supposed to work. It's not supposed to be the people of Kentucky competing against, you know, foreign billionaires pouring money into
American
their system.
Billionaires, they only serve America.
Oh,
American
I'm sure.
Right?
I'm
American
sure.
Interest.
Well, foreign to Kentucky, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Hell, you don't want somebody from Tennessee interfering with Kentucky. Like, clearly, this is not the way it's supposed to work. Nope. And it's such a just cheap circumvention of the law where it's like, you can only give $5,000. All right, well, what if I give $10,000 to this thing and then they give it? Oh, that's fine. It's like, okay, then what the hell? Why even have the law?
Yep.
If we're gonna, it's the spirit of the law is our politicians should not be able to be bought out like this.
Well, and when the Supreme Court looked at Citizens United, Citizens United said that corporations could not be hindered from giving money independently.
Right.
That case never looked at PACs. It was the Speech Now lowercase that created PACs and gave them this unmitigated control of this dark money. But they said that it had a right to give independently. Super PACs are collusion.
Right.
Okay. They're dumping money somewhere and someone else is deciding how to spend it. That is not independent spending. Okay. And now there are entire PACs that are aimed at taking out specific politicians.
Right.
That is not like, that's not the good faith free speech that was ever conceived of in Citizens United. Now, I don't agree with Citizens United. I don't believe corporations should have human rights.
Right.
I don't believe that. I don't believe corporations should have a right to the same rights that you and I have. Because as I saw actually at a debate one time, they said corporations don't have an ass to kick or a soul to damn.
Exactly.
And you know what? They don't. So why are they entitled to the same human rights that we have?
You can't throw them in jail.
But this case is making its way through the U.S. Court of Appeals. I think we're headed to the First Circuit. It's coming. We need to back Maine on this. Everybody should be watching Maine. And you know what? If you're in a referendum state, you should be passing the same law and then joining with them.
Absolutely. Give us that headline one more time so people can find it.
So it's the Maine lawsuit that could save democracy from big money from thenation.com.
Powerful stuff. I can't believe we're already out of time. Tiffany Cianci at the Vino Mom on X, TiffanyCianci.com, and of course she's on TikTok where we're live right now. Shout out to the TikTok crew.
Hey TikTok.
That's gonna do it for the week here on InfoWars. We'll see you back on Monday. Tiffany, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks
once again. Bubbly little fairy of doom. We ended on a high note. We'll get money out of politics
sometime, and it's gonna be hysterical.
That'd be amazing. You should. All right. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, and he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.